Listen to what the story says and learn what the story teaches. Listen to what the story says and learn what the story teaches. Moral of the story. Moral of the story.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله My dear Sami brothers and viewers of Mazi channel, I welcome you once again into our silsila entitled Moral of the Story. That silsila in which we pick one particular waqia, incident or story, and then having discussed the story, we try to learn some lessons from it and see what lessons can be derived from that story, what madani flowers that we can take from that, that we can act upon in our lives as well. But here's some of this. The story or the waqia that we're going to start with today is a historical waqia and a historical debate which took place between Prophet of Allah, Sayyidina Ibrahim, ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wa salam, and a person called Namrud. Now, of course, all of us know that Sayyidina Ibrahim, alayhi salam, was a prophet of Allah, and bestowed with miracles and many blessings. But some of us might not know who Namrud was. You might have heard the name here and there, but you might not exactly know who this individual was. Namrud was in fact a king during the time of prophethood of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. But he was a king who had a lot of arrogance, a lot of takabbur. He was very proud of himself and of his kingdom and of his assets. He was the first one who placed the royal crown of kingship on his head, and as also he claimed that he was God. This was one of his major claims. He said he claimed to have been God. He calls Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam into his court and he says, I'm going to have a discussion with you. And this is how the debate goes. So the first person to speak is Namrud. Namrud says, O Ibrahim, tell me what your Rabb, who your Rabb is, towards whom you worship, and towards whom you're calling all of the people. Who is your Lord? Who is your Creator? Who is your Rabb that you're worshipping and you're telling everybody else to worship as well? Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam replied that, O Namrud, my Rabb is the one who gives life and death to the people. My Rabb is the one who gives life and death to the people. Namrud turned around and he says, well, I can do that as well. You know, if you're saying that's the quality, then I can give life and death to people. And then he tried to prove his point, and look how he tried to prove it. He called two prisoners. Yeah, and remember, he's the king. He's got a lot of power. He called two prisoners. One had been sentenced to death, and the other had already been released from prison. So one is in prison, he's sentenced to death, he's due to die. The other person has just being freed from prison, so he's free to go. He calls both of them into his court. And what he does is, the person who was about to be sentenced to death, the person that was about to die, he frees him, says, you're free to go. And the one that had been freed, he says to him, that you're going to be detained and you shall die. By doing this, he tried to prove that he could give life and death. So he goes to Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. He says, there you see, I have given life to the dead and death to the alive. When Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam heard this reply from Namrud, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam then presented him with a more logical argument that he might understand. He said, O Namrud, my Rabb is the one who brings out the sun from the east. My Rabb is the one who brings out the sun every single day from the east. If you are God, then bring out the sun from the west one day. If you are really God, then show me, instead of the sun rising from the east, you make the sun rise from the west one day. Listening to this argument by Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, Namrud was stunned. Yeah, he was absolutely stunned by this argument. He couldn't say anything. He had no response to give. Thus, at this point, the debate ended. And Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, he walked out of the court victorious. So many Islamic brothers and viewers of Madani Channel. This historical waqia incident, as Muslims living in today's day and age, what can we learn from this? What lesson can we derive from this? Well, one of the lessons, my dear Islamic brothers, is that Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, he continued to proclaim the oneness of Allah azza wa jal, despite all of the challenges that Namrud placed before him. And he was so firm upon his belief, so strong in his faith in Allah azza wa jal, that no matter what he was threatened with, whether that was fire or whether that was a debate, in all of those circumstances, despite the challenges facing him, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam withstood the oppression and stood firm on his belief in the oneness of Allah azza wa jal. He stood his ground. He was firm in his belief. And what can we learn from that, my dear Islamic brothers, in today's day and age? That when we live in a society where it might not be as easy to practice the deen, it might not be so easy to act upon the sunnah and to practice the sunnah. Maybe in a situation you might feel a bit shy. Maybe in certain circumstances you think that people might look down upon you. In certain situations you might be the only one who is doing this action, whether that is reading namaz in a room full of people, full of Muslims, not a single person is reading namaz, in a wedding for example, and you're the one person, you're saying, I need to read namaz. In a situation where you're making the intention to keep a beard, you're making the intention to act upon the sunnah, and these things are entering your mind that, yaar, what implications might this have on my job prospects, on all of these kind of things. At times like that, my dear Islamic brothers, we need to remember how firm and steadfast these great prophets of Allah were upon their deen, upon their faith, and in the oneness of Allah Azza wa Jal, and try to apply that to ourselves as well. Remember, whatever else we're going through in our life, whether we're a student, whether we're a businessman, we're a lawyer, engineer, or doctor, or you're a taxi driver, no matter what you are, first and foremost, our identity is that we are Muslim. First and foremost, our pehchan, our identity, is that we are Muslim. And that is the thing that we must hold on to strongly and firmly. One other lesson that we learn from this is that a person should not compromise his belief. A person should not compromise his stance on a particular issue just because he's faced by some difficulty from the opposing side. And you know, here I wanted to mention, and just as a reminder for us, if you look back at the lives of the Sahaba Kiram, you know, we might think to ourselves today that it's difficult for me to act upon the deen. I have difficulty. But like, if you think about the lives and the situations of the Sahaba, the companions, the blessed companions, alayhim wa ridwan, they went through some difficulty. Such difficulty, my dear Islamic brothers, that's even hard for us to comprehend today. That kind of difficulty that we would find unimaginable today. Have we forgotten the life of Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu? Great companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How he was tormented and persecuted and tried by his master simply because he proclaimed the oneness of Allah Ta'ala. You know, they used to place in the midday sun, in the Arab sun, it was extremely hot. They would lie him on the sand and place a massive boulder on his chest. And yet he would still proclaim the oneness of Allah Ta'ala. And they would beat him. They would beat him so much, to such an extent, until they would get tired of beating him. That's how much they beat him. But still, he would proclaim the oneness of Allah Azza wa Jal. So, dear son, brother, look at the difficulties these people went through. Look at the difficulties they faced in their life. Today, for me and you in comparison, what difficulty do we have in practicing the deen? What prevents us from reading our namaz? What's preventing us from opening the Quran? There is no such difficulty that the Sahaba faced. So, as followers of this religion and learning from this waqia, let's not compromise our deen over small, little excuses. My dear Islamic brothers, it's time for us to reflect as well. Time for us to take stock and analyze and look where we are in our lives. You know, this life that we have, all of us know it's temporary. It's going to end one day. Every person, every soul shall taste death. And there's no guarantee that we're going to live to a certain age. Isn't it better that we today prepare for that tomorrow which is going to come to us, when we shall enter our grave? Then there will be the account to be given on the day of judgment. You know, the hereafter, my dear son, is the reality. You know, all of these waqi'at, the stories of the prophets, the sahaba, the great awliya, buzurgani deen, all of their stories, you know, they teach us, they show us that these people spend their lives not building massive houses and bungalows and massive mansions and having beautiful cars and the latest designer gear to wear. You know, that was not what they strived for. They strived for what? For the hereafter. They led the most simplest life in this dunya. They were striving for, they were worrying for their akhirat, for the hereafter. You know, this life is a journey. It's in preparation for the afterlife. We should spend our time preparing for that. You know, today if we are moving, you live in one house and you pay rent. You know you're not going to stay there forever. Your plan is that, you know, you've seen a house in the next town and you're buying that house. So this house where you live at the moment is on rent. Now, because it's on rent, you're not going to spend too much money on DIY. You would say that the guy who is renting his house for only 6 months, after 6 months he's going to move somewhere else. That individual, if he went and spent £10,000 on a brand new kitchen, £5,000 on a brand new bathroom, redid all of the carpets and the wallpaper, bought brand new furniture, you'd think he's crazy. You're only staying there for 6 months, you're buying a new house, you're moving from here, in a short space of time, you're going to live there. Why do you spend so much money on this house? My dear son, with this, you know, sometimes if we reflect on our life and how much of our time and energy we invest in this dunya, on furnishings and the luxuries of this dunya, what about that grave that we're going to? What about the grave that's waiting for us? You know, we live here and we want to be comfortable, we want to have a luxurious lifestyle. What comfort have we prepared for the grave? Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the grave will be one of two things. It'll either be a garden of paradise, or within your grave will be the blazing fire of Jahannam. Which do we want? Do we want paradise? Do we want torment and punishment? If we want good in the hereafter, my dear son, there's the time to strive for that is now. After death, there is no more time. After you take your last breath, that's it, you're finished. Your account of deeds, what you could have done yourself in the dunya, is finished. There is no more time after that. Now is the time. Sayyidina Hassan Basri rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he says that the world is of 3 days. Yesterday has gone. Everything you did yesterday has gone, finished. You can't get that back now. Tomorrow will never come. There's always tomorrow. There's always tomorrow. Sayyidina Hassan Basri rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he says that today is your day. Make the most of today. So if you're going to change, if you're going to bring a revolution in your life, you're going to become a better person, become a namazi, start reciting the Quran, start to do all of these good deeds, and don't wait until tomorrow. And don't keep pondering over yesterday. Action, the day for action is today, my dear Islamic Buddhist. Make the most of your time. Utilize time effectively. Sayyidina Imam Shafi rahmatullahi ta'ala, he says, time is like a sword. It's like a sword. Use it wisely, otherwise it will cut you. It will damage you. Don't waste time in useless activities. Make the most of your time and learn about your deen. Gather knowledge. Seek knowledge. Knowledge is light. Knowledge gains, takes you towards light, towards nur. Alhamdulillah, this Tanzeem of Dawat Islami helps you, encourages us to seek knowledge, to act upon that knowledge, to live an Islamic lifestyle according to the Sunnah. I would urge all of those of you who are watching is to continue watching Madani channel. Inshallah, you'll be continuing to get different positive messages about how we can improve our life and truly lead an Islamic life wherever we live, whether that's in the UK, in Europe, in any country of the world. To engage in the activities of Dawat Islami, the weekly ijtimaas, the Madani Qafilas, to read the books. I would also urge you to visit Dawat Islami's website, www.dawatislami.net. On there you can find books in many different languages that have been translated for the benefit of all of the different communities in the world. May Allah Ta'ala give us all tawfiq. May Allah Ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to have true strong belief and safeguard our iman. Ameen. Bijahin Nabijil Ameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Listen to what the story says and learn. What the story teaches, listen to what the story says and learn. What the story teaches, moral of the story, moral of the story.